streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show tonight. We have Ms. Sharon Washington. Sharon's going to share her testimony. But at the age of 15, Sharon was gang raped. She ended up running away to find a father that she never found. She lived homeless, going house to house. She ended up quitting school. The one thing Sharon says is that she never did use drugs and she never sold her body for money. She was just a young girl who was running from the hurt and pains of being raped. Sharon eventually overcame it all. After moving to Syracuse, she went back to school, received her GED, later an associate degree in business management and marketing, and another degree in criminal justice. Sharon is now a mother of four and grandmother of eight. She's owned six businesses. She was the founder of an outreach program called Changing Places and Faces. She started working with the New Justice Conflict Service to gain insight into the lives of criminals. And while working with this great outreach, she learned the struggles and life that convicts lived. Sharon is now the proud founder of Felons on the Move. Before we bring Sharon on tonight, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Yes, I would just like to thank all our viewers who tuned in every Wednesday night. And we would like to thank Ms. Sharon for allowing us to have her on the show tonight. And once again, we would just like to thank all our members behind the prison walls. And we would like to give a shout-out to my three brothers doing life in the penitentiary, Robbie, Marvell, and Christopher, and all our members who support us on the battlefield out here in the world and educating as well. So we just want to give everybody love, you know. And without further ado, we'll pass the mic over to Ms. Sharon, and she will formally introduce herself and kick the show off.
Hi, my name is Sharon Washington. I'm from Clarkston, Mississippi. I now reside in Syracuse, New York, the mother of four, Sam, Bobby, Patique, and Patrice, and I also have seven grandchildren. Like Ms. Lucinda was saying, I moved here from being a broken young lady, been gang raped at the age of 15 on my high school campus that I kept secret for more than 30 years. But one thing that I have learned about that life is that you can't let the life live you. You have to live the life, meaning that you cannot give up. You got to constantly go through that struggle and try to find your way the best way that you can. But I praise and I thank God daily for keeping me and saving me and keeping me at a sound mind, because mentally, when you are a rape victim, most women's or men's that has been victims don't make it far as I have made it. But I live now in Syracuse. Yes, I own a few businesses, six businesses, from restaurants to beauty supply stores to cleaning services. I had my daycare at the age of 21. I've been licensed now 24 years. And, yes, I am the founder of Felons on the Move. It's a program geared to helping young men and women that who are living as a felon. Either they are incarcerated or they just, out here just in everyday struggle. So with all that said, I want to thank Mr. Borden, Lucinda, for inviting me on the show and giving me an opportunity to share my life story and struggles and talk a little bit about Felons on the Move.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
All right. So the first thing I want to ask you, Ms. Sharon, let's take it all the way back to when tragedy struck in your life. You know, let's touch up on that for the viewers, when that tragedy first struck, and we'll take it from there, and the viewers can actually see how you overcame the struggle and what was you going through within the struggle.
Okay. This topic sometimes, you know, for some people, Mr. Boyd, is a little touchy, and it used to get emotional. I mean, I get very emotional when I talk about my past, but now I'm in a state of mind to where I can talk and try to help motivate other people that have been through this. When I was 15, I was just transferring to a high school in Mississippi. I was going to a high school which was called Aggie High School, and I transferred from that school, from a junior high school of Higgins to Aggie. But my second term at this high school is when the tragedy started. I was a cheerleader. I played basketball. I ran track. So I was a very good student, and I was a very good, humble child to come from. You know, my mom, she had some struggles, but she raised us well. So I didn't have a lot of home issues. So it wasn't home issues. But I was at a football game, and I had to cheer that night. And the night that I cheered, I ended up missing my ride. And when I missed my ride, one of the young men told me that my ride was over by the school gym. Now, if you put your mindset in this frame where the school gym is maybe a quarter of a mile from the, because when you're in a southern school, like in the country, the football field was always far over away from the school than usual. So I would have to walk from the football field maybe a quarter of a mile to my gym in order to get that ride. So when they told me that the ride was going towards the gym, I said, oh, okay, well, I got my stuff together, had my cheerleader outfit on because I just got done cheering. I walked over to the gym, but before I even got maybe 200 feet to the door of the gym, I was hit. I was hit very hard, and I fell. And I wasn't knocked out or anything. I remember that. I was not knocked out, but I remember getting kicked at. Somebody kicked me from the back of my legs, I guess, to really make me stay on the ground. Then when I looked up, I saw these young men standing around me. And next thing I knew, my arms was pent down. They were starting to do what they do. I remember getting hit in the mouth. I got hit in the head. I got stamped a little bit. And I know for a fact that I was raped. I was sexually raped by all four. And they took their time, you know, one by one. Even one got on me more than once. And it was like a tree stump. It was a big tree that was standing that set on the side of the gym. And it was right there on that tree stump. So if somebody throw you down and hit your head, if you hit your head on this tree stump, most of the time people just blank out. But I didn't blank out until they start beating me. Once they raped me, they beat me because I guess they wanted me not either to forget. I mean, they wanted me to forget or they wanted me to die. But in my case, I felt I was left there to die. I know after they raped me and beat me, I was out for a long time. When I got up, it had to have been 12, 1 o'clock at night. Mind you, my school was about 5 or 10 miles from my home. So I had to get up, look at myself. I was very bloody. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go or who to tell. Because when you're living in the state of Mississippi, there's a rule of don't tell. Because especially if there's a white kid involved, which it was one, and the other three was black. When there's a white kid involved, you had to shut your mouth. You can't do a lot of talking back then because they threatened the next day. I was getting threatened calls, and I tried to go back to school 2 days later. 2 days later I went back, but I only went back just because I didn't want to give up. But it was so much shame on me. Then to see them and then for them to send me notes, you know, and they say, do this and that to my mom and calling my mom drunk, which she was a slight alcoholic, but she drunk a lot. She wasn't a big alcoholic. She just drunk a lot. And one of the kids knew that. So, you know, they used that, you know, to hurt me, and I just didn't go back to the school anymore. After the third day, I just didn't go back. But I lived with this hurt and this pain for over 30 years. My mom just found out last year that I got raped and beaten. But what was the sad part about it? I was a humble, good student. And to have that happen to a student like me was very hurtful. But the whole thing was, my mom never knew, but I changed to this bitter, non-caring person overnight, and she couldn't understand. My daughter don't want to go to school. School calling, she's not showing up. Now she's starting to go out, hang out with the wrong crowd. Now she's down here living in the bar with the cousin. And now she's dealing with this man and that man. I just turned to this unusual person overnight. And my mom just could not put her finger on it, and I couldn't tell her. I couldn't tell her. So I had to live as a young lady like that to save my mom and to save my family. But the sad thing about it is that we didn't have counseling, and you can go to the school and tell the school, or you can go to an outreach. There was no outreach back then. You either go tell your family or you tell the police. But I became this person that I didn't even know who I was myself anymore. I didn't care. I tried suicide. It didn't work. I tried pills, overdosing. It didn't work. I tried hurting myself in many other ways. It didn't work. So what I did, I lived on the streets. I didn't care. I was bitter to my mom. I started treating her, disrespecting her. That wasn't me. This whole city was shocked that I turned out to be that kind of person. But I was hurting inside. So I was hurting so bad inside to where I was hurting the people that loved me. It seemed like I wanted them to figure out what was going on with me. I wanted somebody just to figure it out. I didn't want to just come out and tell them. It's like, don't y'all see I'm hurting? Don't y'all see something wrong? Don't you see I didn't turn this way for nothing? Can somebody just catch on? But could nobody catch on because they never imagined something like that would happen to a person like me? So to make a long story short, I started living on the street, started living with everybody that I can. My mom was putting me out. I would go back. She'd beat me. Mama beat me so bad one time because I went because the school called her and told her Sharon had been in school all month, for 2 months, or whatever it was, can't remember, but I know the school called and said I haven't been there. I dropped out. I didn't tell her I dropped out. I was lying to her, telling her I was going to school, and I was not going to school. I was going to go stay night at friend's house, girls that was bad. They really didn't care nothing about school. They dropped out 7th, 8th grade, and they were just hanging out. So Mama had whooped me so bad after the school had called. I stood there, and I remember her wetting the belt. Down south, we got whoopings. No, she wetted the switches. She went out and got 2 or 3 switches. She wrapped them up. She put water on them. Mama whooped me so bad to where I didn't care. I wanted her to whoop me to where I would die. I stood there, and I looked her in the eyes, and she said, oh, you won't. She said, oh, okay, this don't hurt you. It didn't hurt me because I was already was suffering inside and living in pains. To those beats that mean nothing to me. I wanted her to beat me. She beat me with a belt, and on the right side of my leg today, I still have that belt mark on my thigh, the tip of the belt. It's still on my thigh. She beat me so, but I wanted her to because I was in so much agony. as this young girl. Then I just started dealing with different guys, you know, just dating them, didn't care. But I needed that protection while I'm on the streets. I needed that. I needed to meet these street people because they was already on the street. I didn't know nothing about living on the street that young. So I needed to date the guys that were popular on the street that could help me and keep me safe. I didn't want them in my life, but I needed that protection. And after that, I had a couple of friend girls. At a young age, they were starting to do drugs, sniffing. I saw one of them shoot up heroin, but I had to live in her house for a while because I had nowhere to go. But I got so tired of seeing that every night, every day, all day. Nobody cooking, nobody cleaning. So I left that house, and I went to another friend's house and lived. When I went to the other friend's house and lived, she was crunching up pills, sniffing pills, you know. So everywhere I went, all the bad friends that I got involved with, they didn't really help me. They could have just pulled me worse than where I was, but I chose not to do drugs because that was not me. The rape made me become who I was. I wasn't a drug addict and a user and all that stuff before I got raped, so that wasn't it. I didn't want the drugs. I didn't want the drinking. I didn't want the prostitute. So I ended up becoming a friend again with another girl. Her family owned a bar. So this is how I ended up in Chicago. The family owned a bar up the street from my mom's house. So I would hang at the bar, and that's where I met my kid's father. I would hang at the bar, but I would just go into the bar to hang out every day because they had a house next to the bar. The house was connected to the bar. I was really hanging out there just to have somewhere to be all day and be able to go into their house and take a nap. But see, they didn't know really what was going on with me. But they were from Chicago. So they decided they were going back to Chicago and live, and I said, well, can I go? My dad lives there. Can I go? Maybe I can go and search for my father. And they was like, oh, yeah, you can go. Yeah, you can go. You can live with us until you find him. So they said, well, you need at least $25, $30. So I went and chopped some cotton, and I made the little money up, and I ended up giving them the money for the little gas. I ended up moving with the girl and her mom and sister in Chicago. The lady found out that I couldn't get on her PA case. So she needed my Social Security number, ID, and all that. I said, my mama ain't going to give me that stuff. So she ended up putting me out to the streets. After she put me out to the streets, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how I went. My dad was a city cab driver. So I went around to the city cab driver, asking them, did they know Sam? I couldn't find my father. So what happened, there was an apartment complex in Chicago called Caprita Green. So my dad had a cousin. Here we go again with the heroin and the drug and the prostitute and the pimping. Yes, people have tried to make me prostitute, have tried to offer me drugs and all this here to make me sleep. I wasn't stupid. I was just hurt. So Cabrina Green's apartment is where I used to hang at with one of my dad. But the lady said she was my dad's cousin. But they was users. So I lived there for a little while. I didn't know anything about this. And all of a sudden, I woke up in the middle of the night. This guy standing over me ready to get in bed with me. So I ran away from there. When I ran away from there, things got worse. Then I started living on the street. Then I started going to McDonald's waiting to people eat. I would eat what they ate, leftovers. I would go into the trash. I was dirty, but I would clean myself. I would clean myself, wash my hair in the bathroom. You know, I would beg for money. I would do all that. But what was so sad is that when I went to these missions to get a bed, and because I was so young at age, you would think that they would try to help a young girl like me get off the street. But they treated me like I was 60, 50, 60, 70 years old. I was no different than the next homeless person. I had to get in line and get the same treatment that they had to get. So it's like, dog, did anybody care about me? Do y'all see me hurting? So when I noticed that nobody seemed like didn't care, didn't notice I was going through what I was going through, it got worse. and it got worse, and it got worse for me. So I end up going back to Mississippi by finding this guy. This guy knew my uncle. I don't know how in the world this happened. This guy ended up, he was fixing his cars, and I was really trying to talk to him to get me some money, to get me something to eat. But I talked to him for a long time, and after we got to talking, I said, my uncle fixed cars in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He said, oh, in Kenosha? He said, oh, Kenosha, only an hour and a half, 2 hours away from here. I was like, wow. And in my mind, I was thinking, if I can just get to Kenosha, to my uncle, if it's that close. This man knew, and this was the faith of God, this man knew my uncle Maine. This man took me. I stayed at his house with his family for 2 days. He got up the third day. He took me to Kenosha, Wisconsin. I made it to my uncle's house. I got a whooping by my uncle, but my uncle didn't know what was going on. He knew my mom was looking for me. He knew I dropped out of school. He knew I wasn't doing right. He couldn't understand, so he whooped me too. I didn't care about getting the whoopings. I wanted the whoopings because I had so much pain inside, so the whoopings really didn't mean anything to me. So my uncle ended up taking me back to Clarksdale, Mississippi. When I got to my mama's house, I got another whooping. So I just kept getting whoopings and beaten, and I didn't care. So I stayed with mama about a day or two when I made it back off the streets of Chicago, but I went right back to the streets. I went right back to the streets, and I started dating a guy, and I ended up having 4 kids by him. But I don't think I loved this young man. I think what it was is that I needed, like I said, I needed that protection because I was going through a lot, and I was living on the streets, and I was poor, broke down. I didn't have anything. And the shoes that I had 30 years ago, 31 years ago walking in the streets with, I still got the same shoes today. I still have my same shoes. I kept these shoes. So, you know, going through that really, really, really took me through a lot. But I never gave up faith. I never gave up faith. I ended up getting pregnant by this guy. With this guy, I had a little boy. Because I was homeless and I was fragile and I was skinny and little, I had my baby at 6 months. He was 2 pounds, 5 ounces. Now my son is 28 years old and he's big as ever. I ended up moving to Syracuse, New York by the time I hit 18. I moved here, started a new life. Yeah, I had to live with one aunt to the next aunt to the uncle before I got my own place. But once I got my own place, I have been who I am since. And I have started reaching out to women that who have been in the same predicament I've been, young kids. That's why I started changing faces and places. You know, so that's my life. That's, you know, I try to give it to you as, you know, break it down as simplify as I could. But, you know, there's a lot more that I went through, but to just give you the basics, you know, to let you know that I came a long way to get where I'm at. And humbly, I love doing outreach because I understand the life of somebody been homeless. I understand the life of somebody going through a struggle of being raped, you know. So my goal is today in life is become that person, which I have become that person that I once was before everything else happened to me. So, you know, I praise God, Mr. Border Lucinda, for being here and being able to share my story and to show that, you know, people go through things, but it's how you come out. It depends on how you decide to come out. If you want to stay where you're at, then you will stay there. But if you want to do better and get better, you will get better.
And
that's my life story.
Yeah, with that being said, Ms. Shan, what advice would you give anybody who's going through that same situation right now?
The advice that I would give someone that's going through the same situation right now, grab hold to faith, trust God, pray, but let it get into your spirit and let it operate your mind. because your mind is what controls your actions. And you have to pray that God will go into your mind and God would make sure that whatever going into your mind would benefit you in a healthy way. Because when my mind was messed up, I just wanted to suicide, take those pills, hurt myself. You know, I was mentally afflicted. So I advise anyone, this is a mental thing. It's a mental attack. You have to pray, stand fast, trust God, and believe in yourself that you can pull yourself to a level where you won't stay where you at too long. You're going to be there for a little while, but you just want to try to pull yourself up just a little bit, you know, just a little bit so you can see the light. So that's important.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, years ago, people didn't talk about rape and sexual abuse. And a lot of people struggled and, you know, things are a little different now people are more open to it and people are more willing to share with somebody else what happened. And like you said, there's outreach and there's help, there's counselors, there's so many people around, but there's still those people that are not going to say anything because of the guilt and the shame that you feel. Even though it's not your fault, you feel like it's your fault, and you feel
right.
like this dirty person, and you feel
yeah.
you know, all of these things. And, you know, that, you know, your testimony is just so powerful, and I thank you for sharing with us, because I know that there's somebody out there that's going to hear this testimony and have, you know, gone through the same thing, and it's going to touch them, and it's going to change them. And, you know, we just thank you so much for having the courage to come on and share your story. You know, along the same lines, when kids are acting out, there's always an underlying reason. And sometimes parents are just in their own little world and they don't look
mm-hmm.
deep and find out what's going on.
And that's,
you know,
important.
Parents are so busy working, or they're, you know, it's not that they're doing it on purpose, but, you know, the kids, they act out in schools and they get in trouble and then they get labeled as a troublemaker or they have ADHD or this or that. And, you know, then they give them drugs and then kids, you know, that's the kids that turn to the streets, to the gangs. You know, they're looking for acceptance in other places.
Because they feel like that, you know, I did feel dirty. I felt nasty. I felt filthy. I felt like my body didn't belong to me anymore. I felt like it belonged to whoever wanted. Because if you can take somebody's body the way they took mine, it's like taking something that don't belong to you, Lucinda. When somebody mm-hmm. takes something, if somebody break into your house, and they take your personal items and things that you work really hard for, it become they violated you. So that's what
right.
it was, a violation. They violated my rights to say yes to having sex with them or to just getting beat by them. I didn't give them no rights to do none of that to me. So when I was living on the street and I started meeting different little guys and men or young boys, it wasn't that I was looking for money from them or nothing. That I just felt that I was supposed to be their woman because I don't want you to take it from me, so I give it to you. You understand what I'm saying? I give
mm-hmm.
it to you. You can have me for free. You don't have to pay me. This is how I was looking at it, because if I don't give it to you, you may take it from me again and beat me and hurt me. This is how I was as a young girl. This is how I felt. And I went through this. I went through this so much. It's like I'm going to tell you, I used to take my two hands and grab the side of my head, my hair, and when nobody would look, I would pull my hair as hard as I could. And I would hit my head to the ground. I hit my head to the tree. I just didn't care. I just did not care. I didn't care. I didn't even want to wash my own body sometimes because I didn't want to look at it no more. It was just that first 2 or 3 months when I went through that, I wouldn't even put that. I wouldn't give that to my enemy. I wouldn't even pray that on my enemy. I should have been dead. I shouldn't have been. They left me to die. But God said, no, I got a job for you to do. So ever since I've had this encounter with being a rape victim, I have been a powerful motivational speaker. I have reached out. I've fed so many homeless people out of my pocket. I go and I help people all the time. I don't want no money back, no none of this. I just want to do it. I want to try to reach out and try to hear somebody cries and their pains and their hurt because nobody heard mine. So when you're a rape victim like this, Ms. Lucinda, you start being alert to the pains of somebody else. It would teach you something, being raped. It breaks some people, but some people it teaches, and it taught me a lot. If somebody right now, I have a young lady that I met. I knew just by me and her conversation, she was 18 years old. She did not have to tell me that she was running from getting beat by a young boy. But when I gave her a ride home that morning, I didn't know her. She asked me, ma'am, could you please take me home? Please give me a ride. I didn't have no fear or nothing. I knew at that moment that something was wrong. And you brought up something that was really, really, really profound. It's about parents not being able to reach out to their child, don't know what's going on. It's not that they're so busy. Sometimes parents, we block things out that we know something going on, but we just don't want to know because we don't want to feel that pain.
Right.
You know, so that's what it is.
And we definitely are feeling it tonight with this powerful, very powerful message from Ms. Sharon. And Ms. Sharon, we're going to go to a song. And we're going to dedicate this song called Never Give Up because you was a woman that did not give up, and you showed that not only in character, you showed that as what people see today. So that what makes your testimony so very, very powerful, and we know that that testimony is helping people right to this day, and it's going to continue helping people, and we want to just dedicate this song to you, and we'll be right back with Ms. Sharon Washington right here on the Streets of Love You Back Worldwide Radio Show. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all, huh? What's good?
Can't make no shots.
I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know. Practice makes perfect.
I love you.
You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up. You know, never give up. No matter what it is in life, you can't give up on anything. That's real. You know what I mean? So just keep your shot going. All y'all, you know.
Okay.
I look forward to coming to the game one day. NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, loved ones. Y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
That's all right.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Don't let it come to a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up
on your goals. Stay focused on you. Focus your view. Succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home. Never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get. Appreciate what you got. You can always improve. Just don't stop. Go ahead with your dream to achieve in your life. Chance like rolling the dice, it won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way. So I live by it, and to this very day, I kept on mashing and I never gave up. Me believing in myself is the way I came up.
Hold you down, you gotta get up, leave all your dreams. Never give up, never ever give up.
You gotta keep
Something about the program Felons on the Move and how it became part of who I am.
I'll go right ahead.
My son, to make a long story short, went to the games at an early age. He only did a year and a half, maybe did from 14 to 16, trying to get into a game. As a mother, I went out back to the streets. I got my child back. And whatever it took, I did it. Now my son is 28 years old. He is living as a felon, one felon he has. Regardless of one, two, or three, he's still a felon. And but he does have a good job. He has five kids, a very good father. But I started working for New Justice, and when I started working for them, I was doing a program similar to what I'm doing, but it was funded by the state, by the federal and the state. And they had so much restriction to where I really couldn't reach out to these guys and families like I wanted to, because I felt when they told me their stories and their pains and some of the women that came there, they was rape victims too, I couldn't reach out to them the way I wanted to. So, you know, I had to get like 10 to 15 people a job within 2 years during the program. In 6 months that I was hired with New Justice, I was able to get 36 felon jobs. I went door to door to employers, and I built a relationship on my own, asking for them to give these guys and women a second chance. I went from Burger King to McDonald's. I didn't care what it was. Anything that would help them get a job and bring some type of income into the house. So after that money ran out, I opened up a restaurant, one of the largest soul food restaurants here in Syracuse. But now the restaurant is closed, and even doing the restaurant, I hired felons. I had like three or four working for me. So when the restaurant closed, I decided to start this program because this program stayed on my heart. But I had to wait on God to make a move to see if this is what he really wanted me to do. And he said, Sharon, this is your blessing. You reach out well to people. So I told him to give me a plan. When he gave me a plan, he gave me Felons on the Move, gave me that name like in the middle of the night in my dream. So I woke up and I wrote down Felons on the Move, and I tried to identify what is Felons on the Move. What is it? So he defined what was Felons on the Move, and he told me what he wanted me to do. He told me where he wanted me to start. And now today we do have the program Felons on the Move, and we're doing an excellent job. Mr. Boyd will be one of the speakers coming here to Syracuse, hopefully the 28th and 29th of June. And this will be the first felon conference in the state of New York. So this is going to be a big thing. And so many different people in other reentry programs and city officials and politicians, so many people now want to get involved and wants to know what Felons on the Move is all about. And the plan of action, the future of it. And I'm just grateful. I'm so grateful. And I do have a Facebook. We will be having a website soon. But I'm so grateful that I'm able to reach out to these young men and women and try to help them get that second chance that they deserve, regardless if they good or bad or they robbed somebody or sex offenders. Everybody deserves a second chance. It all depends on what type of sex offender now. But, you know, there are pedophiles that I really can't, you know, reach out to, but I won't turn them away. I won't turn them away, and I would try to get them mental help if I can get them anything else. But this is how Felon on the Move became about. From my life story, my son's life story, to working with New Justice, to now we have Felons on the Move.
Amen. And
that's amazing.
Thanks
yeah.
for that. And tell people a little bit more also, Sharon, about your workshops you've been having lately and if there's anything else coming up for the gentlemen and women to come to as well.
Yes, we will be having another workshop. But now what I decide to do, John and I decide to regroup it. We're going to have one-on-one interview first. We want to try to get these people committed because when I was doing the workshop, 15, 20 people showing up, but then only two or three return. So what we're going to try to do now is regroup it and go a little backwards. We're going to try to have the 101s, get them committed, do their paperwork, take their IDs and all that. Once we have 10 or 15 people that has did the 101 interview, which I have some interviews set up for Thursday and Friday, once I hit 10 people, then I will conduct a workshop. But the workshop that they have to come to, give them an overview of Felons on the Move. One thing good about Felons on the Move, they are going to be able to run their own program. They're going to feel like they are part of something. Now I'm part of something. Before, I wasn't part. Yes, there's a lot of reentry programs, but this reentry program is totally different. They are going to run their own program. They're going to conduct, they're also going to have a board. They're gonna build their own board. They're going to have a president, vice president, a treasury. They're going to have all that. In order for anyone, Mr. Boyd, Lucinda, myself, anyone that want to come in and present anything to Felons on the Move, they will have to come before the board to present that, to see if these people, these young men and women, want to allow anything to come into their program that's new. They're going to have to observe it. They're going to have to disagree on it. They're going to have meetings on it, you know, even if they want a speaker. But one thing good about Felon on the Move is that we are also going to try to start our own business, our own company, and it's going to be called Felon's Home Improvement. What's going to happen, I'm going to get these young men and women trained in some type of construction, painting, landscaping, electrical, anything that's simple, but they will have to have this training. What's going to happen is we're going to get contracts from the outside, and we're going to go out and do the work. But what's good about it, they're going to make their own paycheck. The program is going to pay them to do the work. They get the contract
Amen.
On the outside. They get paid through the program. Maybe it's four people go out and do a landscaping job. We make $5,000. They make it $9, $10 an hour. They get paid. They
Amen.
All get all four will get a paycheck from the program. But they will have to go out and they got to sell fellas home improvement to other individuals in order for us to get those contracts so they can get paid. So that's how, and they're going to feel like Felons on the Move is all about them. That's what it means, Felons on the Move.
Amen.
We're making a difference.
Definitely making
that's
a change.
Right. Teaching them how to be self-sufficient and how to take care of themselves and how to make
that's
that money
right.
out there legitimately.
Yeah.
That's the whole key.
That's right. You know, Sharon, we have a couple of callers on the line. They've been waiting a long time and listening to
okay.
the show. And I want to give them
all
a
right,
chance to talk to you and, you know, ask you a question or something. So we're going to go to the first caller. The last four digits of your number is 8418. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, the phone number 8418, you're on the air.
I guess they're just probably listening.
Okay, that's all right. We'll go to the next number. The next number is 4727. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm listening. I would like to ask Ms. Washington a question.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes,
go right ahead.
Yeah, the question I would like to ask Ms. Washington is, what percentage of excelling females do she think this program will attract over a span of a year?
It will only attract 5%. And the reason I say 5% because there's a lot of females that are ashamed of being a felon. They don't want anyone to know about their criminal history. A guy, on the other hand, really don't care. So about 5% will this program will attract women.
Oh, okay. So you think the percentage is much higher for men than women?
I know for a fact that it is because even when I worked for the state before, I only had, out of 167 clients, I had two females. And the only reason I had those two females is very low. And the only reason I had those two females was because it was mandatory through their probation parole officer. But they was not free hands. They didn't just come in freely.
So, Ms. Washington, do you think the money is going to be there for this type of program right now?
There is money for this type of program, but let me clarify something. We would like to have money from the state and federal. But if the state and federal money is going to restrict any outreach that's going to help these clients, I don't want it. I'd rather get supporters, and I'd rather for us to do fundraise, and I would volunteer my time with no pay to make sure that I'm changing somebody's life, because I don't want it to become political, and I really don't want it to be based on money. I want it to be based on helping an individual change their life.
I think it's a great program, Ms. Washington, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
We thank you for calling in. All right, we'll go back. We still got the last four digits, 8418. We still got you on the line if you're still there. Last four digits, 8418, you still there?
They're listening.
Yes, we were just listening to the broadcast today.
Oh, you just listen. Okay, thank you much.
Do you have any questions or anything tonight?
No, but I think that Miss Washington, for her coming out and sharing her story was a wonderful thing. There are many wounded women out here that has held their story for a very long time. I myself is one of those women that has not shared my story with many, but have shared it with few. And I find that, you know, in sharing, it helps a lot to bring forth healing. So I do appreciate your story. And, you know, and moving forward with your business, I know that you will do well because of your consistency. As you spoke through the broadcast of your diligence and striving to do better, to make a difference. So I'm just looking forward to you doing great things.
All right. We appreciate that, young lady. And just hold on the line, and if you can, finish listening to the broadcast out, and one day we might have to bring you on the show to spread your message.
Share your story.
It's always great to, to get it out there, because someone needs help, and everybody have a testimony, no matter who you are, male, female, kid, whatever. Everybody have a testimony that can help someone else.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a comment to make on that, Sharon?
Yeah, I do. I appreciate her comment, and she's right. A lot of women, a lot of females that has been through this difficult situation does not come out and speak. Learning with my criminal justice degree is that the percentage of rape victims that calls and report is very low. It's very low. And the reason why it's so low, because we're so ashamed. We're so ashamed and we're afraid. And we don't want to tell or discuss it with anybody, because to relive that is very hurtful. It's painful now to me to even talk about it. But I need to, because she's right. It's a healing. It helps me heal. It helps me heal. Nah. But importantly, it helps me help somebody else.
And that's
a lot of times too, young women feel that if they tell the truth, and a lot of times it's family members that do, child sexual abuse. A lot of them are family members. So, First of all, their fear of rejection, that they're not going to be believed. And then, they're going to get punished, or they're going to be called a liar, just taking that chance on, are they going to believe me? Are they going to, do anything about it? Or am I going to get punished worse?
Right.
There's a lot of things. And women hold that, and probably young men as well, as we have learned. They have held things for years and years and years. And that's why, again, young kids become bitter, become angry, turn to alcohol, turn to drugs, turn to the streets, turn anywhere else but to the people that should be their main supporters, and that's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. We run. We're scared. We're hurt. We're hurt. We're broke.
Right. So with that being said, Ms. Sharon, and hearing the other young lady that commented tonight, and what I want to do tonight, I want to dedicate this song to both of you all, you and the young lady who spoke and asked you the question. I want to dedicate this song called Life is Just a Story to you and the young lady on the air tonight, and then we'll be right back with Ms. Sharon. Hang tight.
Thank you.
Every day's a struggle,
Constant struggle, I get it. I understand that. Gotta keep moving, every day. Success, for real. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. Chicago. Every day we're going through this town. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell.
Everybody first went broke like me. Wish that I could fall like them ballers on the street. Living that everyday lamp. Made me take a step back, look at myself and check mine. Now I ain't leaving till I get mine. Trying to keep the distance between that hate and greed. Mercy between Satan and me. And all them problems that it come with is more than one need. Me, been the rest of mathematics on them all. Put your hands up, drop your bag when you out them all. Send it back to the block. Big money grip, still hungry for them chips. Don't make me flip. Cardio frame with the diamond chips. Just bought a new whip, candy painted, double dip. Every day's a hustle. I'm trying to get it, trying to bubble. It's my life and my struggle.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle.
It is seen at 25, yet still I rise. And I'm black and proud. My people say it loud. Walking like I talk and hold your head above the clouds and smile. Never let them see you sweat, I bet. The streets is always watching, catch you slipping, chicken hawking. Shami's out here walking, listening to the music. If you pay attention, I'll show you how to use it. I flip flows on shows like life is so abusive. Adapt and overcome the struggle like how he do it. I prove it, showing the world I am a king. Sing to the rhythm, my queen. This is your dream. Man in the building, example for all to see. Life can be a bitch, keep stroking until you ski.
Keep stroking.
Stand on your own, keep fighting and never leave. Foundation is the knowledge I'm kicking, we're gonna bleed.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle.
Track right there was called Life is Just a Story, dedicated to Miss Sharon, another young lady. And you're right back here at the Streets and Love You Back, hottest radio show worldwide. And Miss Sharon, tell the people any shout outs you'd like to give anybody, and let them know a final thing about the Felons on the Move, because that's something. That's a great touching subject for men and women. And like we spoke earlier, it's a lot of people that want to do right, and it's a lot that don't want to do right, you know. So you have to give your attention to the one that's ready to do right and pray for the
other. Right.
So tell them a
that's
little
right.
bit more before we leave.
Okay, I would like to give a shout-out to my children, Sam, Bobby, Patika, Matrice, also to my boyfriend, Derek. Powell, and to my friends that supported me, Jackie and Gina, and also to my mom. But one thing I would like to say about Felons on the Move before we go is that it's a powerful program. Anyone can join. I mean, you can call me from prison. You can call me from the jail cells, anywhere in New York State. You can come, and I'm asking everybody from New York to Rochester to Buffalo to Utica, to Rome, Watertown, New York, anyone that's listening, please come and join us June 28th and 29th. If the date changed, we'll let you know, but it's still set for June 28th, 29th. It's a reentry conference. It's going to be powerful. Mr. Board is the main speaker. We're going to have workshops and class and groups, and I'm hoping that Felons on the Move program, if it cannot change everybody's lives, but if we can make a difference in somebody's life, we have made a big, big accomplishment. And Felons on the Move, We on the move, and we're making it work.
Amen for that. And with that being said and done, I would like to give my homegirl up there in Syracuse, New York, who made all of this possible for us to meet Miss Sharon. And I would like to give a shout out to Miss Mary Nelson. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mary Nelson Youth Foundation that she runs up there in Syracuse, New York. Me and my wife met Miss Nelson a couple years ago, and she's just been phenomenal. And every time something comes up in Syracuse, New York, that she feels we need to know, she definitely brings it to our attention. So we just want to give her and her whole staff and her family a very, very big shout-out for making all this possible.
Right. Thank you.
Without a doubt. Any last words, babe?
No, I just want to commend you, Sharon, for all the work that you've done and for overcoming all the obstacles that you have gone through. And, you know, we go through things for reasons, and sometimes we go through things as lessons so that we can share that and help somebody else. So we thank God that he protected you and gave you those chances to be able to be here now and to be able to educate and teach and help change people's lives. You're doing an amazing job, and, you know, if there's anything else we can, you know, help you with on this end, you know, the Streets Don't Love You Back, we're trying to do the same thing. We're trying to just help people and change people's lives and let them know that they don't have to live on the streets, and they don't have to sell drugs, and they don't have to be, you know, prostituting themselves. I mean, there's other alternatives. There's other ways. There's better ways. And you know, going back to the felons, you know, it's not like a lot of people plan to, you know, do the things they do. When I grow up, I'm going to be a felon. Or when I grow up, I'm going to go to prison. You know, it's not, it's just the way life turns out sometimes, and wrong choices and being at the wrong place at the wrong time, or, you know, letting friends influence you or whatever. But, you know, I think everyone deserves that second chance. And, you know, I think a lot of the laws need to be changed, especially the drug laws and keeping prison and, you know, people in prison for so many years. You know, it's just absurd. And so there's a lot of things that need to be changed. And, you know, those are some of the things that we're trying to work on and talk with people about. And, you know, we've definitely written the White House about it. And we'll continue, you know, trying to make that change. But, you know, laws need to be changed. Things need to change. And people don't need to spend their whole life or 25 years or 10 years for marijuana in prison. I mean, there's so many crazy laws that were put in place. And that's a whole other show. But there's just a lot of work to do.
It's a lot of work to do. And like I said, we started with Felons on the Move to make those changes. And some of those law changes are some of the changes we will be attacking, trying to change some laws.
Right. And I just want to tell everybody before we get off the air tonight, do not forget, you know what I mean, if the date do not change, me and my wife will be in Syracuse, New York, June 28th, June 29th, and we will definitely be putting it down with a very powerful message, and also not just a very powerful message. You know, I will be showing young men and women also how to become entrepreneurs worldwide, because the internet is used for good and bad, but the internet is a global hustle. You can sell hats, t-shirts, whatever you need. You want to sell. It's a legal thing. You can make money worldwide. So my thing is to empower young men and women that you don't have to really sit down and be waiting for the government to give you no job, or, you know what I mean, wasting your time. You know what I mean?
You can make your own way.
But you can make your own way. And I'm going to be there to show you how to do it. And we're going to put it in full effect June 28th, June 29th. You better be there, baby, because if you don't, you're going to miss out on some good things there. And I will also have both of my books there. The Streets Don't Love You Back book will be there. And I will have my other book, Never Hit a Woman. That book is about domestic violence toward men, women, and kids. And we're going to have a dynamite time. So that's something you ain't going to miss.
That's right.
All right, that's it for me, baby. Anything else on the
Any last comment, Sharon?
No, my last comment is that, you know, I want you guys, I want to thank you and Mr. Rob for supporting me on Facebook, for sharing and sharing my messages that I put on there, commenting, just supporting me totally, because you know Mr. Rob is an everyday struggle, and you see some of the things that I paste on there and the
Amen.
Attention that I'm trying to get. You know, they comment a lot in the inboxes, but I want them to try to come out of that box and come openly and start talking, you know, openly on the page, just as
Amen.
If they were talking on their personal page. But, you know, I'm praying about that. But I do want to thank you both for supporting me on Facebook, and I'm so happy, and I'm ready for that outbreak on June 28th and 29th. We're going to have
Amen.
A fabulous time.
Yes, ma'am. And before we get off the air tonight, I want to give that young lady a chance to have a last word as well, that 8418. I would like for her to have a last word as well tonight.
Caller, you're back on the air.
Yes, my name is Gina, and I just like to say, you know, thank you for your broadcast, and I think it's very important in this time, day, and age for people to be able to hear messages as this. It's important to let them know that they do have a voice, and it's good for them, and it's healthy for them, and it's vital for them to speak out. So I'm just blessed to hear the message today and continue to move forward with that. It's a great program. Thank you.
Thank you much, ma'am. And before you get off the line tonight, I would also like for you to email me and my wife your information. I would definitely like for you to become a guest on our radio show to continue
Amen.
Spreading great messages and powerful testimonies to help others, you know. So you can hit us at thestreetsdontloveyouback@gmail.com, and you can send your information, and my wife will get it, and we will set you up a radio interview for we can keep this platform for people like you and others that need to tell your testimony to help someone else.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a blessed night.
Thank you, Gina.
You also.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to remind everybody to log into our website, thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, or you can just Google us, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Visit our website. We have a lot of resources, a lot of information, and it's also a social network, so you can network and meet other people as well. And we do have several Facebook pages, so just hit us up on Facebook and listen to us live every Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern, and then all of our archives are 24/7, so you can listen to any of our shows that we've had. And we do have all of those up on Facebook, Avoid and Listen to Radio Show. So check out some of the shows that we've had, some of the awesome guests that we've had. And we just like to ask you to have a great week. We're going to have one more song as we go out. And this is a young woman out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Jada is 6 years old, and she's singing with her father. And here we go.
I want to say thank you to The Streets Don't Love You Back. This is a song that I did with my dad. It's about never giving up. My name is Jada, and this is my new song, Bring Up the Lights.
or die. Had to figure out a way. It made me wise for my time. You can't fly to the ground, but shine without trying. If I'm falling, I'ma get it treated like this thing is mine. Another day that you know won't be fair. You ain't be scared, you gotta take a chance sometime. Just go over to it, take a hand, say, girl, you're gonna be mine. Cause time is on your side, but only if you hop. So what, you somewhere handicapped, Jack, you can't just stop. Cause it might be your last lap around the oval track. You never know when it's time to go, so you need to go get that build up momentum. If it's needed, second on Newton, better read it. If you believe it and you read the book, then I suggest you heed it. Pay attention and listen so you relate to relativity. If it's your business, be busy. Flexibility, I don't say I'm what is man, a machine, dirty or clean. Tell them both don't come too close. Not things ain't always what they seem. It's like a dream or reality. You never quite know what me. It's the secret of life. City that you want will be the same.
You can't stop me, you can see it in my eyes.
I'm gonna make it, you gon' see. No.